believe for every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows. I believe that somewhere in the darkest night, a candle glows. I believe for everyone who goes astray, someone will come to show the way. I believe. Above a storm, the smallest prayer will still be heard. I believe that someone in the great somewhere hears every word. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry or touch a leaf, or see the sky, then I know why. I time I hear a newborn baby cry or touch a leaf or see the sky, then I know why. I
believe. Wow. They liked it. We liked it a lot. Wow. Oh, Kathy Rod, that was so exquisite, so beautiful. And what a lovely choice for today. So, am I on? Can you hear me? Am I on? Okay. Wow, and I don't think I'm too loud for a change yet. Wait till I get revved up here. So good morning. Welcome to the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Karen Rice, and I'm the spiritual leader of this community. And what a great honor it is to be able to stand on a platform on a Sunday morning when there are storms just, you know, going a little crazy over on the other side of the country, and to know that together we join in community, that we can actually comfort each other and we can uplift each other, and maybe we can even have a little fun while we're here. So I have a lot to say this morning, and I'm rather excited about it. And I also am going to be speaking to what I consider to be sort of the basics of science of mind, at least as viewed through the eyes of this minister. Because one of the most important things I think we can do, and I'm going to say this a couple times this morning, and that is to study what is the nature of God. The title of my message is The God-like Nature. And I want us to have a rather in-depth look at that. And by the way, the music and Jane, where did you go, Jane? That, of course, right in front of me. Oh, Jane! Just kidding. That was so, just like last week, the reading was so aligned to exactly the message I want to deliver. That happened again this morning. I would love to have a copy of that reading before you leave today, just for my own self, and others might want it too. Yes, already. There are others that like that reading as well. So, and that's a book I don't have. And really, what a gorgeous, gorgeous quotation you read, or reading you did. So the godlike nature, what do we mean when we talk about the godlike nature? You know, the nature of spirit itself is goodness. We talk about the idea of this image of perfection, that the godlike nature is order. It is harmony. It is love and joy. It is peace. And what we know about the godlike nature, especially important for us to focus on right now, is that it is very regenerative. The godlike nature is supportive. Life intends to support us at all times, which does not mean we don't move through storms. And so I find these last two Sundays have, and hopefully whatever that other storm is will, we're going to pray it away. Enough already. But what we know is that no matter what's going on that concerns us, the conditions, the everything that happens in this realm of effect in material form on this planet, that we know that God is right there. It's not like there's this ability on the part of spirit to abandon us in our time of need. That right where we are, no matter what, that power, that presence, that goodness, that regenerative spirit that is restoring life, even amidst the storm, all of that is happening, even now. So the nature of spirit is sort of twofold. It's love and it's law. It has to be true to itself, to the nature of itself. So it really pays for us to pause every so often and just have a good talk about what that nature of life is, what that idea is of spirit as an intelligence that runs the entire universe, that keeps everything in motion in a perfect way. So as we study geology, as we study astronomy, we begin to see that there are these massive, immense patterns, that there is instinct in all of nature that assures everything comes back to order, even if it's been stirred up a bit. And so if we look, if we pay attention, especially right now, I think it's so valuable for us to reconsider so many of these basic things. You know, how does a sunflower follow the sun? The sunflower is such a beautiful example because it's such a big, bold flower, and it just follows the sun. It faces the sun and does that. Well, how does a bear know to hibernate? And a bird, how does a bird know where to migrate to? And in the same way that we live in these exquisite bodies that know how to heal, right? So we're surrounded with this evidence that is undeniable, and then something happens in life, like a big storm or a series of storms, and it can really be unsettling for us. And indeed, lots and lots of people are really experiencing a lot of fear. And we should not pretend we don't feel the effects of that or have our own concerns and worries. So what I want to do as a you know, always as a spiritual leader, my goal is to sort of keep these ideas right in front of you. I want us to choose to take the highest road through difficult things. And certainly I'm looking today at the way there are storms and the way that we sort of touched on this last week, and that the way there are storms that figuratively move through our lives. And what I want to emphasize today is that the same principles stand behind all of it. So we can use, no matter what's going on, we can use this information to return again to a place of standing in truth, standing on solid ground, you might say. That might actually be a good term for us to think of in this particular week. So it's not unusual for us to speak on a Sunday about the presence and the power. It's not unusual for us to talk about the way there is this presence of perfection, that there are these patterns in the universe, and that our job is to study that and to reinvigorate in our own conscious mind, you know, this guarantee that life supports life, no matter who you are. No matter what family you were born into, or what ethnicity you are, or what part of the world you're in, what body you were born into, none of that is different. No matter what you think you're seeing in front of you, everybody is born with equal opportunity, with equal access to that universal pattern, to that perfection, and that our livingness, we sort of weave in and out of all of that. So what I notice in my own life, in my own experience, in my own practice of this stuff, what I notice is that when I find my groove, when I find my way to that pattern, and I'm sort of living on purpose, intentionally, you know, studying and keeping my mind clear, focusing on what I need to, and when there is something happening in the news that's big like this, I have to put a little more effort into it, right? I didn't get any special genes that helped me do this easier than you do. I just dedicate myself very seriously to all of these things that I'm talking about all the time. So when I do that, what I notice is things seem a little less stressful, you know, that I can move through this period of time with a little more ease as compared to if I don't remember these great universal truths and I scare myself, you know, I buy into all the fear like we all do from time to time. But when I'm aligned to truth, when I'm in that pattern, then things are easier. And if even everything in life were very peaceful and I'm really prayed up and I'm moving in that groove, in that perfect pattern, that spiritual synchronicity, you might say, then if something does go wrong in my personal life, I'm more likely to be able to find my balance again more quickly. So it's not that stuff doesn't happen. Stuff happens, and all of this is to help us live our life with as few disruptions as possible, even though we may experience illness or loved ones that are going through trials and, a terrible person on your HOA board or whatever it is, right? So there are big things. We see them as big things and little things, but really the important message here is that God's at the center of all of it, and we all have equal access to restoring our equilibrium like that as soon as we choose. So right now, this is the eerie part. I'm right in the talk yesterday in that storm. I heard, because I kept checking the news, it felt like I needed to know, and they predicted that it would be over Miami right now. And so, of course, it's veered a little bit west, which is good for my friends good news for my friends, but not such good news for other people. But right now as we're speaking, that storm is raging all over the entire state of Florida, they said this morning. So what happens when conditions impact a huge area? This is where we spoke last week. We talked about this a little bit. But what I wanted to say was, in the way that we see, and I keep encouraging us to keep seeing the good stuff that's happening, the way people come together and help each other, the way we as a community are helping our assistant minister's family who they've lost their home, and the way we feel personally impacted by that. And by the way, they are not the only ones. Other congregants came up to me here, and there has been other loss for family members or friends of individuals in our community. But what I see is that the reason there is, I've been thinking a lot about this since last week, the reason there's good things happen is because there is what I believe is a divine synchronization. So that we who are way across the country right now from the latest storm, our prayers are equally as powerful if we were right there in the middle of it. It doesn't lessen us. You know, there is no time, there is no space in terms of how powerful our prayers are. So the more of us that are praying, and imagine how many people all over the world are praying, because we're not the only country being bombarded with storms right now. Imagine all the prayers for good. And I had this interesting realization that I think that's what we mean. When I speak a prayer and I say that, and I know, I absolutely boldly declare that there is divine guidance for every individual impacted by that storm, that there is divine guidance, there is direction, that there is support from the universe in every way needed, that it shows up now. Well, I think that's what happens, because so many of us are praying that we are anchoring that truth, and that's how people that are rescuing other people have the instinct of where to go. The intuition is sharpened, because it's like everybody starts getting in that same groove. We stand in that divine place. So there's a rhythm, right? There's a rhythm that's moving around, and we're going to find our place in that pattern. And our spiritual practice, no matter what that is, no matter how you define that in your own life, our spiritual practice then makes us increasingly aware of the pattern. So the choices we make as we're living conscious and on purpose will be decisions that will serve us, decisions that will help other people as well. And so if nothing else, I really want to send home today, I want you to take home with you today when you go, that pattern exists, that it is available to you at all times, and that life is supporting us. Because when something big like this happens, it's very easy to feel like a victim. It's very easy to worry about the people you know in that region and feel like they are being victimized by this awful storm. And what I want to say is that though it will feel like those big things are sort of out of our control, because we can't just, you know, nix it, we can't just put it out, you know, even though it appears that way, that as we remember the presence of God is right there, we learn, we are given the skills, we wake up to what it is we need to do, and we can ride out the storm standing in a better pattern. That is the God-like nature. It is the nature of life. Do you see? First we understand it's the nature of life, and then we live in that pattern, and it becomes a God-like nature. So rather than feeling like we're a victim, that something's out to get us, what I want to say to you is maybe the rhythm of life is what's out to get us. It's inside of us waiting for us to wake up and call on it and use it. And then As soon as I did that, I started hearing that Gloria Estefan song in my head. The rhythm is out to get ya. The rhythm is out to get you. What if that divine synchronization is truly a rhythm that in a positive way is out to get us? Can't you just hear the beginning of that song? How does that song start? Oh, wait a minute. I think I can hear it. Oh, 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 ah, the rhythm is gonna get you. I'm gonna try so hard not to sing it, because I don't sing pretty. Thank you. That was awesome. As if we had all rehearsed that. Do you see how well that worked? That was fabulous. That's my gift to you. You go home now, and you start getting a little scared about what you're seeing. You know, I want you to start hearing it like something trying to wake you up to remind you there's a natural rhythm within you. It's going to get you. You just do a little bit of studying. You open yourself to see a bigger, higher truth, and the rhythm is going to get you. And you're going to hear that. You're going to be singing that. Oh, hey, oh, hey. You're going to be singing that now, and you're going to do it. You're going to use it as part of your spiritual practice, because let's face it, that song is never going to go away. I hope, anyhow. I love that song. That song always makes me want to dance. This is why we study spiritual law, so we can find our grooves, so that we can find our rhythms, so we can remember the dance steps or move in concert with that divine beat of life. it takes us back to the basics. So understanding there is a spiritual law, that there are spiritual laws in the universe that are for us, understanding that is the beginning, which then invites us, and this is the, you know, once again, I'm going to say, I think that the single most valuable imperative that I teach is that we individually continue to examine what we believe about God. Because as we are willing to be inquisitive, as we are willing to ask ourselves on a regular basis, the founder of this teaching did that every day. Ernest Holmes would ask himself yet again, what or who is God? Who or what is God? And every time you ask that question, it helps us open a little bit more to a different understanding. I think sometimes, and by the way, did you read the paper yesterday? We're in the paper. You didn't read the paper yesterday. We're in the paper. Oh, Helen read the paper. We're in the paper, and I said all this in the paper yesterday, and we'll have articles somewhere, Annette, in the bookstore. We have copies of it in the bookstore. Thank you, Annette, for doing that. That's what we do, is we use that questioning, we use that inquisitiveness, we use our sadness, I said all this last week, to stretch us, because as the bigger we can make our God, the more potential there is for that intelligence, that supportive, loving, caring intelligence to show up and express in our life, to express through us. So ask yourselves, what is God? What do I believe God is today? How am I feeling about that? What do I believe about the universe? Is the universe a friendly place to live or not? Albert Einstein said, however you answer that question is going to say a lot about how you live your life. And then I've added my own question because I have been thinking so much for the past 6 or 8 months about this. One of the most powerful questions I've been asking myself lately is this. Miss Karen, what is the world for? Why was the planet created? What is the world for? Because when I ask myself that question, I'll tell you, all my fear about the things I normally worry about, my fear just dissipates because it can't stand in front of truth. And when you ask meaty questions like that, truth has to present itself. Because you know why? You're not walking around all certain that you've got it all figured out. Right? And then the greater truth can be revealed in those moments of being a little more vulnerable. And then that question, what is the purpose of the world, leads to the inevitable meatiest question of all, why am I here? Why am I on the planet at this particular time? So those are great ways for us to move through our life. And I know it feels rather counterintuitive in most religions. You have these tenets and you have doctrine and you have beliefs that are firm, that the community is taught in most religions. You would not be told to question that. You know, in many faiths, you would be asked not to. You would be as a child, many of you have told me, you're reprimanded if you ask such questions, unless you happen to stumble on the right priest or the right spiritual leader, catechism leader, whatever. So I think that digging deep and questioning, that helps us. We're looking for deeper understanding of spiritual matters, and I believe that that is what Emma Curtis Hopkins meant when she spoke of the secret of the Lord. So the deeper we dive, the more inquisitive we are about understanding spiritual principle, the more we learn, the more we grow, and the secret is revealed to us little by little. I don't know that it's ever answered fully, because I think the journey of being human, on the planet as a spiritual being, I think that the intent is that we continue to dig and question and look and work at it all the time. But little by little, it takes us to a greater sense of intimacy with life, with the divine. It's a beautiful process. So if we play with this idea of the God-like nature, and we question what we believe about God, what you're going to find is that God is going to look less and less like a man. That image of a staunch man with a gray and a beard and and the clipboard, all of that is going to dissipate because you can no longer stand in the truth of such a small idea of God. God has to be bigger than something that looks like us. When we speak of infinite intelligence, when we talk about spirit being all-knowing, being everywhere present all the time, then spirit has to be bigger than something that looks man-like or even goddess or woman-like. So we're going to find our groove. We're going to find our rhythm. We're going to study this stuff. We're going to stay open. We're going to talk about it with each other, even when we disagree. And you know what you can do? If you're having a conversation with somebody that has a very different view of yours, whether it's religion or politics, it doesn't matter. When we practice breathing and trying to stay open and not trying to convert people to our view, that's what's so beautiful about our religion, I believe, is because we don't do that here. When we can be open in a conversation where people have very different views, and they might be strong views, then we are practicing our ability to stretch ourselves and stay open. We can stand safely in that rhythm, and we can hear those, what are they? Oh, eh, oh, eh. Oh, eh, oh, oh, ah, yeah, yeah, et cetera, et cetera. Good job. Thank you. Goodness, I love having music in the middle of the talk. So an open mind can hold no judgment. If you're truly practicing being open-minded, you have to let go of your judgments. And as I was thinking about people being in the storm right now, while we're doing this, people are in a storm, they are bracing themselves. Think of it. It's maybe figurative in some places, but if you're out in the wind, you need something to hang on to, right? And so if you are hanging on to the wrong things in terms of judgments, then you're not going to be able to balance yourself through the storm. And so we have this beautiful way we're invited to, and this is where your reading fits in, Jane, we're invited to practice letting go, right? So imagine, now I just made all this up, but oh man, it's so powerful in my head. I'm going to try and verbalize it for you so you can kind of get here with me maybe. So people are being blown all over the place, all over the state of Florida right now, and they got to let go of stuff. Remember, we talked about this last week. They're not thinking about the same things they were the week before. So what do you let go of? You let go of your prejudices. You let go of any hatred. You know, you let go of differences because you're all in it together. You're all trying to find your way to make it through this storm, and you get to that group mind, that consciousness. So you could say, in a way, the hurricane is blows out all of those ugly things out of our consciousness. They're not even there because we're down to, again, to those basics. We're right there in the heart of the basics of it. And then when I thought about that, I thought about those movies, sometimes YouTube's I see videos, but there was a great movie about storm chasers quite a few years ago. And there's that visual that you get where you can see the tornado. Why are there storm chasers? That does not, that is the last occupation or hobby I would choose. Doesn't appeal to me at all. But so they're filming on a camera and this tornado is moving across a farm. It's always a farmland. Don't live in Kansas, I guess. And the tornado is moving across this big farmland and there's a barn. And suddenly the tornado hits the barn and it's blown to smithereens. You know, it's like it's not even there anymore. And little pieces of wood are flying, thousands of pieces of wood are flying all over the place in this cyclone-driven storm and in all kinds of different directions. And in that movie, they even lifted up a tractor and it fell down. And then you saw the cow flying through the sky and it was kind of Wizard of Oz-ish. You know, so what we know is that storms shred things. Storms like that can absolutely shred things. So what if we imagined that we, as citizens of this planet, we, as citizens of the world who have lived through, for the past few years, we have lived through some pretty major changes economically, some societal changes. There appears to be some strong cultural change unfolding worldwide. So what if we could see the sort of the storms, I just think of the arguments I see on Facebook, still arguing over some of the same old things, but what if we took all of that upheaval, all of the different ways that people, through our judgments and opinions, have created these little mini whirlwinds like we see here out in the desert sometimes, but what if this idea in a metaphorical way is that all of that upheaval, because something is trying to emerge on this planet, and it cannot emerge until major change unfolds, so what if we are just watching that change unfold, and the storms that we experience in our lives in a personal way, and the things that we see, the current events that happen worldwide, what if that spinning around is that ferocious movement of a storm is just tearing up everything ugly that doesn't need to be there anymore anyhow? I was imagining that like the vision of the barn being blown to smithereens. What if we had an image that this metaphorical storm came and blew through all the problems we've seen in the last couple of years especially, and the economy is like the old ways and the problems are gone, and the educational system that's been so broken, gone, commerce, politics, even religion as it was, is blown apart. Because that's what's happening. Change can't come if everything stays the same. And then as the storm keeps moving and it gains momentum, then anything that can no longer stand in what newness is being created, everything has to go. Prejudice has to be gone. Racism has to be crushed. Homophobia just crumbles to nothing. And greed and addiction are pulverized. We don't need that stuff anymore. Something brand new is trying to emerge, to be born, and as Pearl S. Buck said so beautifully, and I love to quote, all birth is messy. It's a storm. It's a big storm. You know, that Florida is looking at a big storm. They have all kinds of ways they're calling these storms historical, never before. People that, if you think you've lived through a hurricane, don't think you've lived through a hurricane because you haven't lived through this one yet, was something I heard on the news last week. So the old stuff is being cleared away. It's the nature of life. Life always clears away the old stuff. A branch breaks off a tree in a storm. Eventually, it'll hit the ground. If it's in the woods and nobody clears away, it'll begin to rot. And it will become the mulch of future growth. That's how some pine trees recreate themselves. That's where you go by a fallen tree. You'll see a lot of baby pine trees sprouting up all around the broken piece that fell over. The geophysical events that we are witnessing, even right now as we're sitting here together, this stuff is going on, are a major example of the chaotic conditions that we see on the planet that make us feel like we have lost our control. And it's always scary when we feel like we don't have control, but think this stuff through very carefully. I want to give you something very empowering to take home. In addition to, just remember that storms always bring change because life has this ability to adapt. Charles Darwin had some dynamic information. My favorite thing I've studied of Darwin's is that idea of the theory of natural selection, wherein in about 1760, in Great Britain, it started first, and then it happened later. The Industrial Age hit Great Britain in about 1760, and then it spread out to all other major cities. And what happened when they started creating industry? Well, the factories began to produce soot. That then the soot began to cover the buildings. The soot covered the trees so that the bark of the trees changed. The little white moths, they call them the peppered moths, the little white moths now are landing on the tree bark like they always have, but the birds can see them because now the bark is dark, the moths are white, and the birds pick off all the white moths because they can see them. What's left? A small number of the total population, because white used to be the color that protected them. Now, all that's left are the darker colored moths that blend in with the sooty bark and the sooty walls. And so they are the moths that reproduce, and voila, nature finds a way to save a species. It was brilliant work. Life changes because it has to, and it knows how. It has this immense intelligence created just for this purpose. When something isn't working, or something changes and the old things don't fit in that pattern anymore, something better will unfold. That's the way nature works. It is the most basic principle of continuity or eternality. If you study the chapter on immortality, Holmes speaks to this boldly. In fact, Holmes says this. Hang on to this. This line really gets me. Holmes, you know how last week I quoted Holmes and life changes because... For the advancement of the soul. That's the quote I used last week. Holmes said in that same area, life changes in order for us to continue. Life changes in order for us to continue. So something new is emerging on this planet. Change has to happen. Things can't go on the way they were. So new things now we are going to be seeing. And it will happen whether you like it or not, and it will happen whether we support it or not, because life knows how to do this. Our problem is that we associate change and loss with death, or death as loss, but we have little losses all the time. We're not just talking about death, but let me tell you what we believe about death, what we teach in this faith about life. Life continues. We can scare ourselves when we become overwhelmed by the things that are happening on the planet now, or in our personal lives, the political things that are going on, and the giant storms that are moving around in lots of places. Life continues because death is not an end. We have to change not only what we believe about God, but we have this opportunity now to change the way we look at what death is. Death is not an end. Death is not a process that takes our loved ones away or that steals our life. Death is a very natural process that changes life, and it simply points us in a new direction. So whatever you do, and now I'm going to sound like I'm sermonizing because I am. I'm preaching at you now. What I want to say to you is, it's okay for us to be afraid. It's okay for us to be sad right now. It's okay for us to be restless. It's okay for us to question what we believe. All of those things will ultimately help us to be less judgmental and to be more supportive and compassionate to a greater whole. So consider what's being said today, and most important, please do not sit alone and scare yourself. Do not hover over your TV or listen to the scare stories or look them up on the internet. Do not sit alone and scare yourself. Do not imagine that this is an end. Take everything we've spoken about this morning, and let's notice that already in Houston, they are rebuilding. Clyde's sister was there the minute they let them back into their area, and everybody in her neighborhood was there tearing out their old carpeting and tearing out all the drywall. They begin reconstruction immediately. And how do you do that? You get rid of the old. Yeah, they're going to take some space to let everything dry out. They're looking to see what they can save. I heard him say that they were washing dishes and just trying to save as much of their life as they could from what's there. So find your groove. Expect to hear the music. Don't be alarmed if you hear yourself singing Gloria Estefan. You have an instinct for this. We all do. We have equal opportunity to tap into it because it is our nature. We are living and moving and having our being in God at all times. Eventually, the dust is going to settle. Tomorrow will be brighter. The rhythm's going to get you. And you will be sparkened into this new sense of pure potentiality, because right where you are, no matter what, God is. So let's just take a breath. And we're going to take a moment to anchor these ideas in prayer, because when we anchor ourselves in the truthful words of prayer, it's that divine cement that will hold up later. Just feel the beauty of sitting in this room right now, surrounded in community, giving thanks that we are safe and that we are able to meet today, where so many of our brothers and sisters are skipping this service. And we know that right where we are, God is. That there is no place where God is missing or limited in any way. That there is that power, that presence, that divine truth. It is perfect order. It is harmony. It is life actively restoring itself with every breath, with every movement. Just as water rises to a level and then dissipates again, we can see that rhythm, that movement, that there is a pattern. And it is a perfect pattern. There is a divine synchronization for life itself, and we are one with it. And whether we remember or we don't remember, the truth is that God is right here. And so as we renew our awareness, as we evoke that sense of recognizing God right here in this room and at the core of our own being, we know that life is everywhere present. Life insisting, adapting, changing, creating, ongoing life, this insistence on being and expressing. And so I feel the love of God within me. And I know that that love is the most powerful force in the universe. So I'm renewed with this confidence that all of our loved ones, the brotherhood of humanity, is revived by the very power of this spoken word, of this prayer, and of every prayer that is spoken in reverence, with compassion. And that indeed, that the movement of these words is that very power that then expands that way in which people are guided and directed and supported and sustained through all of the storms. And so we stand in our groove, in our place. We know that rhythm is within us and desires to express through us. And we stand strong in believing that good will prevail, that life will find a new order, that the storms will pass, and that people will recover. So I'm so grateful. I just feel within me that power, that presence, that movement of life, that gratitude. That is the inward involvement of truth coming into form, creating sacred space and peace of mind for each and every one of us and for every person touched by this storm in any way whatsoever. So I say thank you, God. Thank you, life. Thank you, Infinite Spirit. For as we remember these truths, we become a part of the positive movement in a world that works for all and in a spirit of deep, deep gratitude. I simply release these words into the divine law, knowing it is already done. And together we say, and so it is.